As Vaudeville Greg said, the message is short today, but the scripture is long. So we're going to emphasize the scripture today, which is the right thing to do. So open your pew Bibles or your own Bibles to Acts chapter 25, verse 23. That's on page 833 if you want to skip ahead. So 833 pew Bibles, Acts 25 to 23. And just leave your Bibles open because he's going to be referring back to it. The next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entrance. With great pomp, and entered the audience room with high-ranking officers and the leading men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, "King Agrippa, and all who are present with you, you see this man? The whole Jewish community has petitioned me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. I found that he had done nothing deserving of death, but because he had made this appeal to the emperor, I decided to send him to Rome. But I have nothing to write to his majesty about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that as a result of this investigation, I may have something to write. For I think it is unreasonable to send on a prisoner without specifying the charges against him." Then King Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jews all know the way that I've lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I have lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. O King, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises from the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I've appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.' So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, and then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God, and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I've had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets Moses said would happen, that Christ would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles." At this point, Festus interrupts Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can freely speak to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. The king rose and with the governor and Bernice and those standing with them. Then they left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. Here ends the reading of God's word.
So you've heard two testimonies, one from Sister Hannah, one from Paul. So very quickly, we are going to move through the Art of Defense, Part 4. Paul has been on trial. We've seen it week after week after week. He's sharing his testimony. This is what God's done. This is what I believe. This is how I'm defending myself against these accusations. This is how I'm doing it. And he did it 3-4 times. And so now we come to the last of his defenses at the end here of the book of Acts. And I want to just use this as a template. You are not likely going to be called to Anjar in the next week. You are not likely to be called to Armenia in the next week, in your service and in your surrender, in your service to God. But there is a high likelihood that you may have the opportunity to defend your faith. It just may be that this week, someone in your life, someone who's been watching you, may just ask you, can you tell me again, why do you trust in Jesus? Why is Jesus so important to you? And I think from Paul's example, we get 5 R's. The first one is when someone asks you. You notice that Paul was given permission to speak. Please don't jam your faith down someone's throat. We're called by Peter to give a defense for the hope that's in whenever we're asked. Okay, so treat people respectfully, allow them. You saw how, and you may think he's just being political, oh, great king. I really don't think he's just being political. I think he's really being respectful. Would you please treat the people that are asking you about your faith not as somehow less than you or, oh, they're so ignorant. They don't know, and they're asking. Treat them with respect. And you know what? Instead of just treating them with respect, would you please just respect them as people who can receive the saving grace of Christ? Second thing is you want to focus on the resurrection. Notice how Paul said, I'm on trial for the hope of the fathers from way back. And why do you think it's something that God would raise the dead? That is our hope. See, your story, your testimony is important. But never forget that your testimony, my testimony, is just a small piece in the story of God. And the most important piece of the story of God is that he's given his son, who died on the cross, but who he raised from the dead. There is power in the name of Jesus that none of your neighbors have ever experienced. There is power in the name of Jesus to forgive, to transform lives. Never forget that the core of the gospel is Christ crucified and Christ risen. So share your story, but make sure you're not the center of the story. Make sure that the resurrection is. And remember to share who you were. If you have an explanation of your life, that you had great parents, you come from a great culture, you came maybe from a great church, If that's what you talk about, we're missing something. Because the story of sharing the gospel is how God has rescued us from darkness into light. From darkness to light. Remember who you were, and please be honest. They don't need to know everything about your past. They don't need to know all the dirt. But give them enough so that they're not impressed with you, but they're impressed with the one who could save you from darkness to light. If you can't see your past as darkness, go ahead and keep your mouth shut, because you don't have a testimony. If you can't see that God has taken you from a place of condemnation, a place worthy of judgment, you don't know what it's like to be saved. And I can tell you that because for a long time, I honestly thought I wasn't that bad. I really didn't think I was that bad. You might have thought otherwise. My parents might have thought otherwise. I didn't think I was that bad. But until you recognize that, yes, who I am apart from Jesus will not share eternity with Jesus, we don't really have a hope of salvation. And this can be tricky sometimes for Americans. It could be tricky sometimes for Armenians, because we think we're pretty well all set. Paul's story is a little bit more dramatic. I don't know how many of you caught it. We frequently think of Paul as the persecutor. But did you hear what he said? That when they were voting to put people to death, he voted for? God can save. And if you don't think God can save your neighbor, keep looking at Paul. If you don't think God could save your mother or father or a family member who seems so negative and contrary to the gospel, recognize that he saved Paul. So remember who you are and what God can do. The fourth R is repentance. The call of salvation is to turn from darkness to light. There is hope. There is hope. God's intention, he tells Paul that I am sending you to your own people, but also the Gentiles, to open the eyes, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are set apart, those who are set